Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. It's weird that we don't have a pay-per-view to talk about.
I know.
Like, one didn't just happen, or we don't have one this weekend.
I mean, we still have plenty to talk about, because...
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't even know what I want to tackle first. I guess we could tackle the positives. Obviously, WWE, purposely, you know... made all their main shows have the main events being, you know, women.
Mm-hmm.
Coinciding with, I guess, some acknowledgement that Stephanie had gotten. That they talked about it on Raw. You know, something about, you know, their prolific attempts to further women's wrestling, blah, 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 blah. Really kind of shining their own.
Do you get to decide that your attempts are prolific by yourself? Or does somebody else have to...
Well, it was a outside... organization okay, or something okay. that was acknowledging right. her for that.
But
acknowledging specifically Stephanie, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, she had just as much power in this company when they were keeping the Divas division down
mm-hmm.
to a bathroom break, 2-minute segment at best.
Yeah.
So, like, does she really get to be acknowledged? Like, yes, applaud with the progress they made.
Yeah, with everything, as always, there
is
genuine improvement.
But they've also, like, they're the ones that were also the cause of them being held mm-hmm. down so long.
And
they're the ones that hired supermodels.
Yeah. There's also a difference between better and good.
Sure.
And like, and we've had flashes of good. We've
yes.
had genuine like this, but
we've had flashes of good this week.
Yes.
Specifically in the women's.
Yeah, we've had lots of flashes of good. Yes. But good seems to be like weirdly marred in hiccups of like, oh, right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Still working on it.
And I will say, all three of the big shows, you know, main event segments with the women's division were really strong. NXT was the big exclamation point. Like, they were obviously the strongest because it was woman standing match. And I think he was the one that said it on our message board. Like, that was the stiffest women's match we've ever seen in WWE. And he was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And it was one of those matches where... I guess both women just gave up, you know, any sort of kayfabe at the end, and both of them had, like, the biggest smile on their face. Like, even the loser, I'm not going to spoil it because I know Joel hasn't seen it yet, even the loser was, like, laying there after just, you know, taking a huge bump and just ate a 3 count,
mm-hmm.
or the 10 count, and big old smile on her face.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, no, they knew they did something special. Raw, I thought it was surprisingly strong. I did not have a whole lot of... expectations going into the gauntlet match.
Raw is the one that is the truest to pre-Women's Revolution. Like, it still feels the most
right
5 years ago.
Yeah, where SmackDown feels like they're trying.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
They may not be there.
They might be falling. They might be stumbling, but they're definitely trying.
Right.
Which... it some days is like, I'll take.
Mm-hmm. But whereas Raw, like, they're giving women chances, but it feels like it's the same few.
Right. And it feels like out of obligation, because we won't shut up about it, it feels like a little more... Because
that was the whole reason for the shift. Is, you know, everyone's like, oh, the Bellas caused the Divas Revolution. That's because they were on camera when we had had enough.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, Stephanie's the one who wanted to change. It's like, no, we just wouldn't shut up, so they had to do something about it.
Again... as always, got to point out, technically, R-Truth started the Divas Revolution.
Yeah, because he was, what, Give Truth a Chance or something
like
that?
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was like, okay, fine, but what about the Divas?
Yeah, somehow that, and I don't know how, I don't know who started, I don't know who was like, because R-Truth was trying to get Give Truth a Chance trending.
Right.
And
everyone's like, screw that.
That evolved into Give Divas a Chance.
Yeah.
So
I think he had just followed up, like, another small, short Divas segment.
Mm-hmm.
But the gauntlet match on Raw this week...
Right, but my point is...
There you go.
So I admit going into Raw sometimes being like, oh, they're not like expecting to be mad or disappointed or like expecting to have a sour relationship
right.
whenever they quote-unquote like try to do something better. But I'm a giant sucker for gauntlet matches.
Yeah. Because they've been doing, like, especially SmackDown has been doing them a lot with tag team
mm-hmm.
Lately. But this was, I felt like this was exactly what they needed to get a lot of momentum behind Nia Jax, even though she ended up not winning.
Yeah. And that's part of why I love, because gauntlet matches have a lot of the same skill set mm-hmm. as a match as the Royal Rumble, where like you don't have to be the winner yeah. to come out of it the shining star.
Yeah.
I mean,
and why would you? Like, the colognes aren't really all that good. But shining stars joke.
I got it.
but it harkens back to the whole, you know, like make Roman look strong kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they knew Nia Jax wasn't going to win, but they still wanted to build her for future, you know, future programs. And I guess they realized that they hadn't really built her up to that point yet.
I'm okay
aside
with that.
Aside from the weird, like the monster build that they kind of...
Right, initially did.
They did.
Lady Strowman kind of thing.
Right, and then they kind of shied away from it, which is fine, but that also meant she wasn't on camera for
right.
a couple months.
Well, and they also didn't have her eat 30 losses after her monster build. So
sure,
like,
yeah.
It's not 100% squandered.
Yeah.
But no, it's... And it's the kind of thing where, like, I know that she's going to be in these future matches. Like, I know she's going to be headlining mm-hmm. things that whether I want her to or not.
Yeah.
Because they're invested in that.
And it's weird that we're talking about her like this because she was in the championship match at WrestleMania.
But I know she's going to be doing these things, but I'm glad that they are building so that yeah. when she... Because that's, again, that's still the biggest issue with Roman was Roman went into... The 31 WrestleMania with
yeah.
like two singles victories in his career.
Yeah, something like that.
Or something.
Or at least, or two pay-per-view singles victories, I think.
Yeah, it was something yeah. absurdly small. It was
yeah.
something rocket strap pushed to the moon kind of thing where I don't think Roman's bad or wrong. I think he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I think that will black mark his career.
Right.
Which sucks. And he needs
right.
to, you know.
And it's one of those things where... You know, because when we go back to WrestleMania, like, it felt like that Fatal 4-Way only included Nia Jax because
So it was
she,
a Fatal 4-Way.
Well, because that, and she was the one that was on Twitter that was complaining. It was like, okay, you know, you guys are just trading the belt between three people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on? And, like, she was vocal about it, so it almost felt like they were kind of appeasing her.
Yeah.
A little bit. Which, I mean, and that was a very, like, just complaint,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
But they didn't really build a whole lot behind her to inject her into that match. Now they're, you know, because she could have been the female Roman.
Right.
You know, they could have just pushed
well,
her to the moon and, you know, because they almost made that mistake in NXT as well when
mm-hmm.
she was down there.
Well, the women's division doesn't have a mid-card belt, doesn't have a tag team belt.
No.
You have one title.
So a lot of times it's 0
all
to 100.
Of these, yeah, and all these women are theoretically eligible for that, I guess.
Sure.
You don't. Have there's not a need to build a mid card just because it's a smaller number. Now throw some more in there. There's apparently like as the world of indie wrestling continues to explode, you're
sure.
like, oh, there's plenty of women,
yeah,
that are good enough that they should be.
They're about to have I believe a 30 woman tournament
mm-hmm.
in holy crap 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and majority of them never set foot in WWE. You know, there's a couple like NXT recruits in there. But the majority of them are just independent women from, you know, or independent wrestlers brought in off of those promotions that, you know, we've never seen on WWE TV before.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, that's the beauty of pro wrestling is like, you always have a constant well to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I like the Money in the Bank match. I like the idea of promoting it and building up your main event on SmackDown, doing a big first ever.
Yeah.
It does feel kind of cheap that the outcome was pretty much the same. Granted, it wasn't done the same way.
Right.
And yes, it does a little bit more to legitimize Carmella a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, all right, we're going to have this match. We're going to erase that. We're going to try it again, and the same person ends up winning.
So, when they announced that, somebody who tweeted that, it was like either Bischoff or Vince Russo, like
yeah.
somebody from WCW saying, like, this is a terrible idea.
It was Bischoff, I believe.
Was it Bischoff? And like, as soon as I read that, I was
if
like...
If it was Russo, I would have just ignored it and wouldn't have paid attention to what he said.
But I was like, oh, let's see why WCW thinks this booking's terrible.
Oh,
this will
sure.
be a laugh.
Sure. Well, okay. That's the one person in WCW that probably could criticize.
It is. It is.
Yeah. But if it was like, Russo, then like just get out and just go file another like.
But his point was, the idea of putting a main event match on a pay per view and yeah. then the exact same match 2 weeks later on free television never works. And he talked about like he did that and that was a mistake
right.
and that hurt his brand. And so. Because of that presentation, like that's an interesting way to look at it. And mm-hmm. I will admit, there's no situation where I'm like, yeah, that pay-per-view was solid, but that match 2 weeks later for free,
right.
that's where the money is.
The only time in recent memory that I remember that is Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Know, where the pay-per-view, their match on the pay-per-view wasn't great. And then, like, a month later, they do that same match on SmackDown, and it's a billion times better.
But it wasn't even like...
But it's not even the championship match. It wasn't a singles match.
And it wasn't a, like, oh, you bested me, and now right. I really, like, it didn't tie into the pay-per-view match. It was just another, like, well, we got to fill this card. Let's
right.
throw these
Let's
two guys
pair
together.
These two guys up on SmackDown mm-hmm. to take up a time slot. Yeah.
And so, like, I get it. I'm not going to say, like, there's a right or wrong way to do that. I feel like there's... Because I do think it's important to... make your show mm-hmm. feel like a show and not an advertisement for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
They struggle across the board with that.
Yeah.
Everybody struggles across the board with that.
Yeah.
Freaking What Culture Wrestling struggles sure. with that. And they are, you know, like, on the internet, it should be just as easy to watch their stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to feel cheated. And, but with WWE, because WWE has the network now and the network set up,
yeah,
I do feel like they should be able to put a little more into the show that they don't necessarily have to save.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am now going to buy every pay-per-view. It's not a pay-per-view to pay-per-view decision anymore.
Right.
And I think that's true for most people.
Yeah.
Obviously not all, but they don't have to worry about we need a must-buy
yeah.
for, you know, this pay-per-view. They just need, you know, enough that you tune in to an extra episode of Raw on Sunday.
Yeah. And now the conversation becomes, well, do I want to watch it live or do I just want to watch it later?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, or just so I can skip through it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, other positives, not necessarily from those shows, but another positive WWE-wise, Kevin Owens on Talking Smack was incredible.
Uh-huh.
If you just watched that, I mean, granted, Usos coming out and kind of goofing off with Daniel Bryan was fun. But before that, like, that entire Kevin Owens thing was just a great reminder on why we love him, even though he's such a jerk, you know? And then the ride-along that came on after Raw this week was a lot of fun.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, in one car, it was Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, pre-Festival of Friendship, talking up their Buddy Cop movie that they want to do. And then the other car, which surprisingly was the highlight of that. Like, you would think Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, that's gold. The highlight of the show was the other car, which was Corey Graves, Tom Phillips, and Nia Jax.
Huh.
Which seems like a random pairing, but clearly they have been traveling, like, the three of them have been traveling together, because they're, like, just, I want a podcast with those three.
Yeah.
Like, I want to listen to them, like, just talk crap about Byron Saxton the entire time. Apparently, Byron Saxton has a thing for Nia Jax, and he's been trying hard. But, like, in that really G-rated way.
Uh-huh.
Like, apparently, that's apparently Byron Saxton's character is a shoot. He really is that much of a cookie-cutter goody-two-shoes.
Uh-huh.
They were, you know, talking like, oh, we should try to call Byron on here. And then, like, they went down the line. Like, Corey's like, well, he won't answer me because he knows me. And Tom's like, yeah, same here. And then Nia's like, oh, he'll answer me. Calls him, has him on speakerphone, doesn't tell him he's on speakerphone. And he tries to legit invite her to his family's Thanksgiving dinner.
All right.
And it's a little cringe, but uh-huh. it's just so much. It's just, it makes me feel good that he's being the real Byron when we hear him on the Raw. Man, I highly suggest that.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure, weird.
That and Corey Graves has some interesting story from, like, the, I think it said 7 years that he was a, he did piercings.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
That's cool.
Weird training methods. He had to try a few interesting piercings on himself. I will. They're the kind of piercings that no one would really volunteer for someone to train on. Uh-huh. Yeah. Not something I wanted to hear, but
it makes sense
when I think about it. It's like, yeah, I guess no one would try to, like, I'll volunteer that. No.
Yeah.
But now going to the negative side. All and right. Boy, howdy, is there a negative.
Unfurl that list.
Yes. The majority of it is surrounded by one segment in particular. And the root of this segment is WWE's desire and, some would say, lust for mainstream hits. And insert LeVar Ball, who's not even the guy who got drafted by the LA Lakers the week before. Okay. It's his dad, who's already been established in the media as a giant jerk slash crazy person.
So I'm going to defend this segment in theory. The theoretical concept behind this.
I'm listening.
let me just say, like, in execution, this was garbage nightmare.
Weird. Okay. If I can go ahead and just ask this.
You're going to shoot down my defense before I start?
No. In the execution, where was the main flaw where everything went wrong? Because I know a very specific.
The main flaw was giving a 15-year-old a live microphone.
Yes.
100%.
A 15-year-old who he himself and his family has had their ego maximized.
Yes, a 15-year-old who
had just scored 90-something points in a high school game and thinks that that's an achievement, but all that tells the rest of us is like, oh, he's a ball hog.
And is more susceptible to the lack of repercussions of his actions than the average 15-year-old, which is already the lowest bar.
Oh, sure, because even if he wasn't famous, it was like, it's just kids being kids and they're going to do dumb things.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, well, he's special, so let's not, you know, do or say anything.
So, okay, so we are in a world, we are evolving into a world of sports, the business of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is driven more and more by personality rather than franchise.
Yeah.
People are less and less becoming fans of a team or a city and more becoming fans of a player.
Yeah.
Player's personality matters.
Yeah.
And that is a recent thing.
Oh, sure.
I mean, and you have your standouts. You have your Wayne Gretzky's and you have your Michael Jordan's kind of things. But, like, if Michael Jordan... And again, I'll always fall into the Michael Jordan's greatest of all time camp for
that. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you.
I know, but others will.
We're both Chapel Hill homers, so.
Others will. But I will say, if Michael Jordan, based on Michael Jordan's personality that we have heard from since, if Michael Jordan was trying to make it in the game today, he would have a much different time.
Yeah, I mean, just there's more scrutiny going on. You know, you have 24-hour news.
There's more access and there's
24-hour sports news
expectation that players will do this and players will interact on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera.
Like today, they won't. If a player has a gambling problem and a lot of people know about it, they're not going to keep it to themselves anymore. You know? And that was the case with Jordan. The dude had a really bad gambling problem.
But you have LeBron James and you have and it goes to like Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is the top in the world right now because of his personality and because of his voice. And that takes nothing away.
And by and large,
it takes nothing away from his skill in the octagon.
Yeah. It also helps that he backs it up with most of his matches. Mm-hmm. You know, he's lost some here and there, but majority of the time, he backs it up. Like, same thing with Ronda.
And I think Ronda's biggest downfall is disappearing.
Yes.
Post-loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, Conor McGregor, just to compare those two, Conor McGregor lost, popped right back up.
Yeah.
And was like, do it again!
Yeah.
Which people like.
People love a redemption story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something that has been true along. I mean, like, you in boxing, in single person sports, you can go back to Muhammad Ali and be like, it's a personality thing. People go to see this guy.
Yeah.
But that is leaking into other sports. You know, and one a good example is like as well loved as Brett Favre was during mm-hmm. his time, that is nothing on who we have today. Like every quarterback
yeah.
is a, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have both Mannings.
Yeah.
You know, you have, and if they for whatever reason, you know, move to a different team, they would take chunks of the fan with them.
Sure.
Because people aren't they're more Packers loyal. Fans they're anymore. Loyal. They're not Patriot fans. They're more loyal fans.
To the player.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a situation that WWE should thrive in because they are 100% about personality.
And 100% about, like, wrestling by and large, aside from, you know, the tag team division, it's not a team sport. You know, right.
It's a weird thing where the match is a team sport because these are two guys working together to theoretically put on a classic.
The betrayal of the product on television is that it is a single, like it is a individual type sporting event.
Right. So I get the appeal of let's bring on these sports celebrities. And I get the appeal of, hey, I'm a sports player who is not LeBron James,
sure.
but needs to be striving towards that not only in my basketball skills now, but in my personality, in my relationship with the fans and the audience.
The problem with that, in this particular case, is that the larger-than-life personality, in this case, isn't the actual athlete. Isn't the actual kid that just got drafted by the LA Lakers.
Right.
Number two, by the way, like everyone's like talking about, oh, he's going to be the next big thing. It's like, okay, cool. Why was he not picked number one? But no one like really talks about the guy who got picked number one, and I don't even remember what team picked number one.
Oh.
Exactly. Everyone talks about I just know his first name starts with an L because they all
start with L.
Yeah. But the focus is on his dad who has this giant personality, this stupid arrogance, and what does he have to back it up? He has two very talented sons, but he himself, he was like on, what, two practice squads in the NFL?
Yeah.
That's it? I think he played in like NFL Europe for most of his career?
Well, and again, that's the thing is you use what you have.
Sure, but he's still going on and saying that he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one in his prime. Today.
And that's...
Well, you saw that guy's physique. He says he can beat Michael Jordan, him in his current state today, against Michael Jordan in his prime. You gotta be effing kidding me.
And that's stupid.
Yes. His son, who just got drafted number two, could not beat Michael Jordan. Not even in... He could beat Washington Wizards. Washington Wizards Michael Jordan could beat this kid.
But when you say those things in a wrestling ring, it doesn't count.
Sure, fine, whatever. The problem is, I'm sure they explained what the situation was,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, oh, you're stepping into our world, which, you know, you have this big personality and everything, but ultimately you don't know anything about. So right. when the heel is kind of bucking up to you,
mm-hmm.
that's when, you know, you don't have to show that you're afraid or anything, but that's when the face comes in and saves the day.
Right.
Instead, LeVar Ball just took his shirt off and started, like, making animal noises or something and bouncing off the ropes terribly and his son dropping two end bombs and Dean Ambrose is out there trying to like cut some sort
Move
of promo
the and product along
and you can't hear him because you gave all of these idiots live microphones.
Yes. And that's where it falls apart.
Yeah.
And WWE will obviously continue to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot like it all I want, but I can understand why they crave this mainstream
right.
thing.
Right, and I understand, like, just the stars kind of align. Like, the draft was the week before. They went to the Staples Center when they just got their new star player who is going to score so many points for them, and their Lakers are still going to suck. Because basketball is still a team sport.
Those are the rules.
Those are the rules, and this is now a league of super teams.
Yeah.
You know, and you're in the same Western Conference with Golden State. So you're going to get demolished if you make the playoffs. You're not going to make it past the first round, if that,
yes.
for the next, I don't know, 5 years.
I don't know what kind of practice or rehearsal
they
went
probably
into
didn't.
This, but there's a lot of talk and a lot of, I guess, pride that goes into the fact that wrestlers don't rehearse, quote unquote. And some do. Some plan out a match, mm-hmm. beat for beat, bump for bump.
Sure. And there's certain, like, certain matches where they have the bigger spots that require some sort of walkthrough.
Right. And so they'll walk through the two big spots and then improv it.
Sure.
There is this talk, especially among older guys, of the beauty, quote unquote, of going out there with a live mic and saying what you need to say and not mm-hmm. being scripted.
You're right. And the
but while all this is true and impressive, and I don't want to take anything away from two guys can just go and put on a match.
Yeah.
In the ring with each other, no, you know, out of nowhere.
With no planning, yeah.
These guys do practice. That's what the house shows are.
Yeah.
They practice day in and day out. They put on match after match after match after match.
And they're used to, you know, mm-hmm. having a live microphone in front of the camera and having to just go.
And you know, when you go to a house show, you're seeing a match that you'll see on Monday because they do these yeah. same two guys wrestle 8 times and then, mm-hmm. you know, do something on a show. So that the celebrities that you're going to pick don't do that.
No.
So they need a walkthrough.
Yeah.
That, more than any other part of wrestling, needs to be treated as a play. This is our blocking. Right. These are your lines.
Yeah, or I have a suspicion that maybe they did get a walkthrough, but it wasn't really taken seriously.
Right.
You know, and that's the point where you're like, because okay, we'll need it. That's the point where it's WWE's obligation at that point to be like, okay, we need to switch this up.
And I think that's the thing is, like, there's this attitude of you're confident in front of a crowd. You're not, you know, you're not going to get nervous.
Yeah.
You have celebrity status. You're calm, collected. You're going to be fine.
So let's put you with one of our better promo guys who's used to, like, thinking on his toes with Miz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, and in that situation, like, A, on paper, it's the perfect situation for them because you got Miz who could basically riff and run with anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so he can handle his own, and he can still manage to get a negative reaction from the crowd.
Yep.
Again, it just comes down to, like, both sides playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the metaphor, but...
and...
It was one of those things where it's just, like, they were just about themselves. Yeah. Not, like, trying to put on a good segment or putting on... It was just, let's just get ourselves over.
Well, and, like, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
I can see wanting the kid out there. Like, sure, like he's part of the story, he's right. part of the relevance. And
obviously, he's not the one with the personality.
And, like, it would not mm-hmm. have occurred to me to be like, oh, you're about to go out there, by the way, don't say the N-word.
Right.
Like, would not have occurred to me to, like, that's part of your
Here's the thing. There's package. No reason for the 15-year-old to be out there. There really isn't.
I get why they did. I get that.
I understand they're like, oh, it's the Ball Dynasty or whatever, mm-hmm. or whatever. But ultimately, he's like, no, it's his older brother that just got drafted by the Lakers. We're putting him out in front of locals who are potentially going to be coming to Lakers games, and this is literally his first introduction into the Staples Center.
He didn't
and
need.
This is how he's portrayed.
He didn't need a mic.
No,
that's the thing. It's like I get bringing them out. I get like the family and the mm-hmm. and
well he was the one that had a mic and. Didn't use it.
So.
But yeah, he's the one that they're trying to get over. But I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like another thing that was really popping in my mind. Like, this is your first introduction to this guy. And mm-hmm. if I'm the Lakers organization, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is our guy that we want everyone to rally around. And.
Well, and again.
Like, first, like we're fine if he doesn't have a big personality or anything. But his father makes all of them look like idiots and makes them look like fools.
But that was probably such a good idea to the Lakers in the mindset, in the theory. Like, yeah. we want them to get, again, they are trying to build
mm-hmm.
their LeBron James. They're trying to build a guy. They're trying to make it so their team has a guy.
They're trying to have the next Kobe,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So that people will flock to this person and by default flock to this team.
Sure.
They want one. They don't have one. They want one.
Right.
And so this is how you build one.
Mm.
And, you know, as luck would have it, WWE, the kingmaker of big personalities,
yeah.
he's coming in. All we got to do is throw him in there.
Sure.
He's got one segment. He's trending on Twitter. People are on board.
But if I'm a Lakers fan, which I wouldn't be because I have taste, but if I'm a Lakers fan and I saw that, all I saw there is like, oh, this guy's dad's going to be a giant distraction.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it went terribly wrong. It blew up in their face. But I can understand the thought process. Because that was the one thing. Is like, so many people were commenting, like, why would you even do this? Who would even think this? Like, I get why it's a good idea.
Yeah, on paper, I get.
I get the goal. I watched it die in a fiery death.
Yes.
But I get the goal.
Every element of execution failed.
Yes.
In that segment. Is there anything else from all that?
I mean, those things like that trumps everything. And that's, again, just speaks to the issue. And just like anything else on Raw. They've got a pay-per-view coming up that they, first of all, gave a goofy name to.
Right.
And so they've got 2 weeks, give or take, to really kind of put over, like, actually come watch this.
Yeah. It's a weird.
And this entire Raw, you can sum up in 40 seconds. You find a 40-second clip of that, honestly, you've not missed Raw.
Honestly, aside from besides Brock, Samoa Joe, and the women's
gauntlet match at the end,
the rest of the show is really just a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird. See, this could have been a moment where they could have capitalized, because, I mean, again, I don't know exactly how. I don't have numbers or anything in front of me. I don't know how popular Glow was on Netflix. But this is like the first chance on a big scale that a lot of people are introduced to pro wrestling in a way that actually takes wrestling seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's still a comedy and it's still humorous, but they take the
wrestling is not the butt of jokes in the show.
It's portrayed like, okay, this is really, it literally is just acting, especially in that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just physical combat, good versus evil. And this could have been the moment where WWE's like, all right, there's our end. We can capitalize on this. We can give them a serious product and still have humorous moments and everything. And they just like, great balls of fire in the Ball family, you know?
Yeah, a lot of balls.
And it's like, oh, okay. They're just making a giant joke of it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It is
frustrating and a little disheartening that Glow is not being capitalized on.
Yeah.
Especially
when you have a women's champion on SmackDown whose motto literally is feel the glow. Come on now.
Well, and part of it is, so when they were doing like the all women's matches main events, I was like, oh, that's to capitalize on Glow. All right, I get it. You know, the Stephanie thing aside. But looking back on it, and this didn't occur to me watching it live because I see every week, but looking back on it, there's not that should be the one time where you really let's cater to this to people who are tuning in the first time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, that should have been your kickoff because people aren't going to sit through 2.5 hours
to get to
of stuff that granted, doesn't like, make sense looks, to get to good the women's match.
Yeah, it looks
good
that
your main event is.
But it needs to be your attention getter.
But if we opened up with a women's match, because Glow's about female wrestlers, you open up with a women's match, you let each person cut like a 3-minute promo so we can like, let's just reestablish who's the face, who's the heel.
Yeah.
Because somebody tuning in for the first time won't know.
Yeah.
It's not, it felt like there's 100 stories out there about how Vince isn't aware that the world outside of wrestling exists.
Right.
And Vince will ignore, like, not just wrestling, WWE.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Vince will ignore MMA until he absolutely has to. He will ignore, you know, any other wrestling company until he absolutely
but
has
really,
to.
But really, like, this is the opportunity where they should, like, they should have worked in tandem with Netflix on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how expensive it would have been for Netflix, but they could have implemented actual wrestlers in the show. And not to say anything bad about the wrestlers that were actually in the show, the indie wrestlers that were in the show, but I have a tendency to believe the WWE wrestlers are probably going to be better actors than a lot of the ones. Granted, there was a lot of former WWE guys in the show, and I feel like they knocked it out of the park. There's two in particular. I don't think you've gotten to the episode yet, so I'm not going to spoil anything. There's two in particular that are brothers that are former WWE guys that are in there, and they're there for their physicality, you know, to give it a little bit more credibility.
Right.
But their comedic timing, their acting was it impressed the crap out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and even though it's really small, and even with Karma, Kia Stevens, you know, I think I made a comment on our, because we're doing reviews for this, you know, irrelevant but awesome.blogspot.com. Her acting outside of the ring is kind of touch and go at times.
Yeah.
But then there's points where she's in character – or as her GLOW wrestling persona,
mm-hmm.
in character in the ring, and it's flawless. It's like that's where her acting comfort zone is. And you can almost literally see a light switch flip off
for yeah.
her. But this is something that WWE should have embraced and should have been incorporated with. Like, and it would mm-hmm. have been good business for both of them. They could have cross-promoted with them.
Well, like, let's say Netflix has known. Let's say WWE reached out. Netflix is like, nah, you're fake, dude. We're doing a show.
I have a feeling it has a lot to do with Marc Maron, to be honest with you.
Well, but like, even if that was the case, yeah. which I don't believe it was, but even if it was, it's a thing. It exists. It's part of the pop culture zeitgeist now, and WWE could sure. capitalize they could, on it. Yeah. They still could capitalize on it.
Right.
I
mean, they're knowing WWE, they're more likely to try to capitalize on like future seasons.
Yeah.
Now, once
Vince is forced to acknowledge that it's a thing right. that exists.
Right.
But like, all right, so GLOW comes out.
Yeah.
And again, not too late because you can do this next year. GLOW comes out. And honestly, this is when you do like a best of seven thing. You just be like, this female wrestler versus this female wrestler, heel face.
Yeah.
Best of seven opens up Raw for the next 7 weeks.
Sure.
Which will be the time frame that people discover GLOW, watch GLOW. Go, ooh, that's
sure.
newfound respect. And like, yeah, that might get grating or tiring mm-hmm. for longtime viewers, but it's seriously, you know, not that much of the show.
No.
If you get the right female wrestlers, mm-hmm. which you have, it's not like you have to go searching for them. You can find two that can put on seven solid matches.
I mean, look at it. Like how badly did we bemoan and groan with the Cesaro Sheamus best of seven? But by the end of it, we were ready to see who was going to win, mm-hmm. and we were ready for that last match because we knew they were going to
going to
smash each other in the mouth, and we didn't foresee that it was going to be a freaking draw, but or double countout or whatever it was. So like. They know how to book those matches. And again, mm-hmm. like you said, if you get the right two people, you know, it could be big for them, especially if they incorporate it, you know, or not even just directly incorporate like mentions of the show or try to advertise for Netflix or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that they have impressive women's matches at the front of their show and they're taking their own product, you know, I guess seriously.
Yeah.
You know, then that's the way that they can capitalize on this. So they can retain those possible new fans
mm-hmm.
instead of them like, oh yeah, I guess it was just a TV show and it's just fiction. So never mind.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing doesn't exist in today's world. And I'm sure another thing was that, you know, it is a TVMA show
mm-hmm.
compared to WWE, who keeps talking about how they're, you know, family friendly. Even though there's times where they abandon that for like a segment. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. One more thing to talk about.
I want to touch on GLOW itself.
Okay. All right.
I know you've watched two episodes.
I've watched two episodes so far.
Okay. So I want to get your impressions so far.
I'm very pleased with it.
Okay.
So when you watch something like this, you kind of have to go into it with two separate mindsets,
mm-hmm.
where like one as a wrestling fan,
yeah.
how do I feel about this being a way a lot of people are going to learn about wrestling?
Yeah.
And B, how do I just like it as a TV show and a person who watches TV? Yeah. And as a person who watches TV, it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's got solid acting. It's got solid
yeah.
characters. It's interesting. I want to continue to watch it.
Yes.
As a wrestling fan. So, and this is just general blanket statement, when you have something you're super passionate about,
yeah.
whether it's like D&D or like sewing or like swimming,
yeah.
whatever it is, and then they're like, we're going to make a show about it, and you're like,
You're especially, you know, because wrestling fans, we've been burned before,
mm-hmm.
where like, oh, they're going to talk about our thing, and then you're like, oh, they're just going to throw on some
right.
some random costumes that could double as a clown costume
mm-hmm.
and treat the thing that I like with, you know, is it just a goofy, silly thing?
Right.
Which I understand. Wrestling is goofy and silly. Let's not kid ourselves, but
and
still.
And so there's a lot of things. And you'll have something where you'll be like, I really liked this ice skating show. And then your friend who is like deep into like the figure skating culture is like, well, actually, it's not accurate because and you're like, that is, you know, minute things, yeah. And come on, drama, and understand why they didn't. And they're like, no, figure skating is life.
Yeah.
And so I want to be very careful to not do that.
Right.
Because I could.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things where I'm like, that's not right.
Sure. One of the main thing is, you know, they have a coach in episode one, played by John Morrison / Johnny Mundo. I'm like, all right, cool. Because for a second, I was kind of worried that Marc Maron was just going to be like, get in the ring, girls, and suddenly they knew how to do it, you know? And then episode two, he's gone. I'm guessing they can only get him for one episode. And one of the other girls, who's was a stunt woman, I believe.
She had some stunt work.
Right. She's just put in charge as far as training everyone. And then there's one lady who is kind of a, they call her legacy, because she has family that are wrestlers. So she knows a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My one problem is that, that's pretty much the coaching for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There is moments where there are, pro wrestlers that are, you know, they're like just shown as local, like local promotions and everything, mm-hmm. that like, okay, well, you need to try this or something. And, you know, they do bring in that girl's family who are wrestlers. They go, one of the main characters is like still not completely into it. So they take her to a local wrestling show, which is actually filmed at, I can't remember the name of the place, but the place where PWG does all their shows.
Okay.
And that they're the main face kind of gives them a lesson, like backstage after the fact, like gives them a lesson on like storytelling and the passion of wrestling. And I don't know how seriously people like don't want to know cameos or anything, but this one I'm going to flat out spoil. So here's your warning. That person that inspires her and tells her all about the truths of wrestling is Alex freaking Riley. It's like, I don't want to be told intricacies.
No,
that I don't want to be told all that of wrestling by Alex freaking Riley. Okay, give me like an independent wrestler that has fought like 20 something years. Give me Christopher Daniels, you know? And now granted, yes, Alex Riley probably has some acting background, fine. And he pulls it off probably about as perfectly as anyone can do it.
Yeah.
It was a great acting moment, fine. But still, there's that twinge in the back of my head. Is like, really? I'm being told by Alex Riley on, like, passion for wrestling or whatever and the importance of this and storytelling and, you know, being an expert at... Like, he's being shown as an expert. He's not an expert. He's bad. He's really bad. You know? There's a little bit of that.
Man, I like Alex Riley. I like his theme
song. Well, you'll love... Well, his theme song isn't in Glow.
Oh, well, let's just not watch it then.
You might like his entrance as Steel Horse. Not kidding.
I mean, there are a lot of those things, but for example, the coach who like coaches through the power of figuring it out.
Sure.
Yeah, but I can also see how that works in the story as a whole. Yeah. I can see how that builds her character, and I can see how that builds her relationships with other characters.
Right.
You're building these character dynamics. You know, you have less than an hour of footage so far.
Sure.
That I've seen, and so
yeah,
I get the importance.
And there are moments where you're like, all right, it's been like a whole episode, and there hasn't been a whole lot of wrestling. And then like there'll be like episodes where like, all right, that's what I'm talking about. And then it gets you hyped up, and then I want to say like the back half of the season, there's like a few episodes where there's not much wrestling at all, but you don't care because you're just invested at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big payoff with the finale, like the season finale, I thought was really good. The one criticism I've heard from a couple people is like they keep talking about like they don't think there's enough of a character arc from beginning to end for the main characters, and there's not enough of a spotlight to show like, you know, what are the motivations of the ancillary characters, the background.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's only season one.
That's the thing. It's like I'm watching one season out of
the story of season one,
five or so, probably.
Yeah, like the season the theory behind season one is like they're just trying to set up everything. That's the story. Like they're just setting it up.
Yeah.
Season one, they've got it set up. Season two is when we could dive deeper into the characters. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, people need to kind of taper their character driven expectations.
Yeah, but I do recommend watching it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't. it doesn't bum you out as a wrestling fan, which is like the worst outcome.
I feel like this is a great gateway for people who have kind of been curious about pure pro wrestling, and honestly, people who don't even like pro wrestling will like the show, and they may not after you know they get done with the season, they might not have any interest in checking out pro wrestling, you know, or anything, but they would still enjoy the show.
Yeah, I suspect like there will be a lot of people who will watch it, enjoy it, and never get into wrestling. But at some point in the future, it'll probably come out that like, oh, I watch wrestling, and instead of that like fake, right? I'll get like Glow.
Yeah,
like and that's
a much more a preferable response.
Yeah, that's all I need out of this show.
That is a response you can have a conversation with.
Exactly.
Rather than someone like, oh, you know, it's fake, right? And then it becomes you preaching to them, you know, what professional wrestling is or isn't. You know?
Yeah.
It's just a better conversation.
Absolutely.
So you said there was another thing.
Oh, yes. SmackDown officially announced, to the surprise of absolutely no one, that the WWE title will be defended in a Punjabi prison match.
The third one in its history, which caused me to go back on the network and watch the other two.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Man, that's a bad match.
Don't do that.
When your good match is Undertaker versus Big Show, I mean, you know Undertaker's going to make it work, but it's still Big Show.
I will say that's a cool looking structure.
Sure. And right. Like, and it's a menacing, you know, looking structure.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Well, every match, all two of them, have been hindered by the fact that it's big guys.
Yeah.
Like, I think Batista's the smallest person to ever wrestle a Punjabi prison match. And so we have two smaller dudes.
Yeah.
Two quicker, more agile, agile dudes. And as always, I'm fine with them trying it out. I was fine with the Ring of Fire in the strap match. Because, like, do something different. Try it out.
Yeah. And throw it at the wall, see what sticks. It's something they haven't tried in a decade.
Exactly.
You know.
So, fine. Maybe don't talk about Kali being, like, the king and lord of the Punjabi prison match.
I mean, he did introduce it. He wasn't in the first one, but he
did
introduced
not.
It.
Yes, like he introduced it, didn't.
He had gotten hurt. I think he got hurt or something like that.
Yeah, went in another one, and then it was, I think, Batista won.
I believe so.
So he's 0-1 of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, if Great Khali's your hero, you need to try harder.
I mean, and you can. It's a cool looking structure. And WWE uses literal magic in their editing room.
Sure.
So, like, you can make a cool video package out of those matches.
The funny thing was, in the first one, they established, like, the only way you can win is if you get out of the second structure.
Mm-hmm.
The front part closest to the ramp just broke open. And Taker won because his body landed first. I think that's what Michael Cole said, or Michael Cole said, like, his full body hit the floor.
Yeah.
Rather than Big Show, just, like, a foot or something. We're just like, what? Like, I can see that being, like, your second or third version of that match, but your first?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Maybe they just didn't like climbing.
Maybe they couldn't. Like,
maybe they couldn't.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, we got two smaller guys, and so I would like to see them see what they can do.
You're right. So we'll see.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays. We've live tweeted on Wednesdays before and sometimes Sundays.
Yeah. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get new episodes every week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction helps out iTunes metrics for our podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.